Good morning, and welcome to all who have come here to worship this morning. A special welcome to any visitors. We're glad you are here so together we can hear God's word. Offer our praise and adoration and worship his holy name, acknowledging him for our salvation and that he is the source of every good and perfect gift made possible through Jesus Christ. I have a few announcements. As you all know, you heard, most of you, I guess, got the prayer chain this week. Louis' sister, who we prayed for last week with the brain hemorrhage, Carla Veltman, passed away on Thursday. Louis and Mary are going to the funeral, which will be on Tuesday. Please keep Louis and Mary and the Veltman family in your prayers in this time of loss and sorrow. Please pray for traveling mercies and safety for Louis and Mary also. I believe they left yesterday morning, and they hope to return on Thursday evening. Also, has been in our prayers for several weeks is the Lindbergh family from Kansas, and they're praising God for the progress that their 12-year-old son, Nash, is making. As you probably remember, Nash was accidentally shot. The Lindberghs covered our prayers, as Nash has a long road of recovery before him. They also are very thankful for the prayers made on their behalf, and Nash is related to Bart Pinkham. Sunday school starts today, in case anyone forgot. And also the membership class for young adults or anyone who are interested in going to this class. And if the Spirit is pricking your heart right now, we'd like to encourage you to attend, and it starts at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We are glad to have Miguel de Azevedo with us from the Greenville Theological Seminary to bring us God's word this morning to lead us in worship. And before he comes to the pulpit, though, we'll have a duet that will sing for us this morning.
Down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see.
I'll never know how much
much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
So here I am to worship,
here I am to bow down,
here I am to say,
I say that you're my God.
You're altogether lovely,
you're altogether lovely, wonderful to me, wonderful to me, wonderful to me, to me.
Good morning. The Lord calls us to worship his name and to praise him from Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8 through 10. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Let's now turn our hearts to our Lord as we, in silent prayer, we prepare for him to give him the glory and honor that is due to him alone. Let's now stand as we sing and praise our God and Lord with hymn 157, When Morning Gilds the Skies. Let's stand and sing hymn 157. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. As we keep standing, let's confess our sins as we sing another song, hymn 179, Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive. 179. Our assurance of pardon comes from God's word, Psalm 79, verse 8 and 9, where the word of God says, Do not hold against us the sins of past generations. May your mercy come quickly to meet us, for we are in desperate need. Help us, God, our Savior, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. And as we turn to our God this morning with gratitude for the forgiveness of our sins that we receive from him, let's hear the words that he gave to us, his law, his moral law that he gave to us in his word, and how we should obey him and show to him our gratitude. The word comes from Deuteronomy 5, verse 6 through 21. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keep it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, and any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long, and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Let's now respond to the listening to the God's law by singing hymn 525, hymn 187, I Belong to Jesus. Let's stand as we sing in gratitude to our Lord. 187, I Belong to Jesus. Let's pray now as we ask the Lord for his help for the preaching of the word this morning. Our mighty God, everlasting love and grace, we come to you this morning knowing that there is no other God like you. We thank you, Lord, that you blessed us in many ways, and that you blessed us even though we don't deserve any blessings that come from you. And as we, O Lord, we turn to your word this morning, we ask, O Lord, for your help. And we ask, O Lord, for the help of your Holy Spirit to open our minds and hearts and to give us understanding of your word and to help us, O Lord, to apply it to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please open your copy of God's Word this morning in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, Mark chapter 6. from verse 30 through 44. Pay careful attention to the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Mark 6, 30 through 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it is already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "What would take more than half a year's wages? Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. I am in my, thanks to God, in my last year of seminary. And I don't know what's going to happen from 1 year from now. I graduate next May. But there are two things that I learned in the U.S. that I will probably never forget. The first thing that I learned here is that when people, they tell you, "Bless your heart," they don't really mean what they're saying. And the second thing that I learned in the U.S. is that when people say, "How are you?" it does not mean that they care about you or they want to know how you're doing. It's just like saying hi, isn't it? But what is the problem with that? The problem with that is that the Bible commands us to care. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us to love others as we love ourselves. But how do we care? It's not with empty words, but with deeds. We can't just say that we're going to do something. We can't just ask someone how they're doing if we don't really show that we care about them. But how can we do that? How can we show care and love for our brothers and sisters and actually for everyone who is around of us. The ultimate example comes from God's word and from Jesus Christ himself. And that's what we see here in this text this morning. We see the great example of Christ, who does not only says to love others, but he loves others. And he shows that to us in his deeds. He shows that to us in his compassion. And he shows that his love to his people and to all people through his provisions. That's what we see here in this text in this morning. We see the great example of Christ, who is the good shepherd, the great shepherd of our souls, showing to us that he loves with words, but he also loves with deeds. And that's what the text this morning is telling us, that we should learn with Christ himself how to love others. It's interesting, as we go to the book of Mark, I don't know if you ever noticed that, but Mark, he's known for what they call in biblical theology for his Markan sandwiches. What that even means? It means that sometimes Mark, he starts a story, and then he stops in the middle of the story, and then he put another story, and then he comes after that, he finishes his first story that he was telling us about. And that's exactly what he's doing here. If we look at chapter 6, verse 1, we see that Christ is sending the disciples out, the 12 out, to preach the gospel. And then Mark, he stops in the middle of that, and he tells us about John the Baptist being killed. And then he comes back now with the apostles, telling the stories of the apostles coming back and telling Jesus everything that they did in his name, how they preached the gospel, how they healed people, how the demons, they came out of people because they were preaching the gospel in the name of Jesus. And in the verse that we read here, verse 30, we see that really clear. The apostles, they are coming back from their journey. And we see how Christ is working through his apostles. So the apostles, when they go and they preach the gospel in the name of Jesus, well, they're really doing that, they're being an extension of the ministry of Jesus. Because they're doing that in his name. They are preaching the same message that he preached. They are saying the same things that he says because they learn all from him. And that's how Christ, he works. And that's Christ, he shows his deeds, not only through his words and his actions, and also he shows that through the life of the ones who follow him. And that's in the extension of Christ's ministry today are the leaders of our church, who in Christ's name they preach the gospel of Christ, who in Christ's name they proclaim what Christ did and what he can do for the souls of believers and unbelievers. So the apostles, they come back here in verse 30, and they are telling Christ everything that they did. And the next thing that we see is the work of Christ in verse 31, caring for his people. So Christ, he says in verse 31, the Bible tells us that Christ, he and the disciples, they didn't have time to eat. They were tired. Excuse me. They were tired and they needed rest. And Christ, he saw that. And what he says, he called his disciples and say, let's go to another place. Let's go have some rest. Let's go take some time so we can rest, so we can continue preaching the gospel. And that shows clear to us how Christ, he cares for his people. He could have said, let's just keep working, let's go preaching the gospel, let's keep doing what we came here to do. But Christ was worried about his disciples and about every single aspect of their ministers. And after saying that, the next thing that we see here is in verse 33. Is that the crowd, when they saw the disciples and Jesus leaving, they start to run after Christ. And in this we see how Christ was popular. Why? He had all that popularity because he loved that people. And they could really see that he wasn't only saying, "How are you?" and "Bye." They could see that he really loved and cared for their souls. So as the crowd, they come and run after Jesus and asking him for help, Jesus, he does something here that it's surprising. He stops everything. He stops his rest. He had the intention of going to that solitary land to rest with his disciples. But he stops everything because of that crowd. And he does here something that probably we'd never do. Probably if we were in the place of Jesus, we would say, "You know what, I just want some rest. Can we talk tomorrow? I'm on vacation. Can we talk another day?" But that's not what Christ he does. That's what we would do, but that's not what Christ does. Because he really cares and he really shows love for these people. And he showed that with his deeds, his attitudes, his works. And he's showing how worried he was, how much he cared for that people, to the point of stop his own rest. He was tired, exhausted. But he turned everything to attend the need of that people. And that's the same thing that Christ he does with us, isn't it? Every time that we need Christ, he's there for us. And I think the first thing that we should think when you read this text, it's what the psalmist say in Psalm 8. What is man that you are mindful of him? What are we? We are sinful people with sinful desires who love to do evil. And even though Christ, he loves us. And he shows that to us every single moment of our lives. And that's the reason why we are here tonight, today, this morning. Because one day Christ, he showed his great love to us as he saved us and he brought us to his presence, to the body of Christ, to his church. And what should be our attitude when we see Christ caring so much for his people, working so much for his people? The Bible says that the true love is the love who denies itself. Or to love is to deny yourself. How should we look to this text and learn from it? Is that we should love not only with acts, not only with words, but with acts. When we come to church, we should look to our neighbor, the one who is on our side, and really care about him. I remember a friend telling me the other day that every time she asks someone how he's doing the church, she doesn't really care. But she struggles with that because she knows that she needs to care. And that's how we should do. We should care for each other. We should love each other because that's what the Bible commands us. And we should love that with acts. And how we do that in Christ's church, serving each other, helping each other. The elders of the church, they are here. And they are called by Christ not to be served, but to serve. And that's a great example. If one day you guys at your church, the church is looking for a new elder or new leader, that's a good example of a leader in the Word of God. And that's how you should, that's the standard. Whoever wants to be a leader in the Church of Christ, he needs to be a servant first. And the next thing that we see here in this text of God's word is that Christ, he demonstrates his love through his compassion. As we read here in verse 34, I hope you have your copy of God's word with you. It says that when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. The first thing that we need to be asking ourselves as we read this verse is, what is compassion? Well, the Bible defines compassion as a tender heart, a loving kindness rooted in God's covenant with his people. We see that in Psalm 103, and we see that in the works of Christ. And Christ, he had here two very clear reasons that the Bible gives to us for his compassion. First, the text tells us in verse 34 that he had compassion because they were without teachers. They had no guides but the blind scribes and the Pharisees. They had no spiritual food but man-made traditions. And what the prophet Ezekiel tells us in chapter 34 is that a shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? And that's the context that Jesus was in it. He had all these people running after him. Why they were running after him? Because they had no food. They're shepherds. They didn't feed them. They're shepherds. They didn't care about them. And the prophet tells us really clear, should not shepherds feed the sheep? And that's exactly what Christ is doing here. He's feeding that people. He's giving them food, spiritual food, and also physical food. And that's why they run from all these towns. Because the prophet Ezekiel, he keeps saying, so they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And that's how Christ, he found Israel when he came. All that people, they had no knowledge of God's word. They're running after their own evils. And Christ came, and what that people they saw in him, they saw in him a shepherd, a one who really cares and who loves his people. And why Christ, he had compassion of the people? Because he's a great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He is the one who takes care of the people of God. What makes Christ the great shepherd? First, we know that Christ is the great shepherd because he is the promised Messiah. And Ezekiel, the prophet, he tells us, and I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be the prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. So the Lord, he had promised a good shepherd for his people. And when Christ, he comes, he fulfills this prophecy that I just read. And he exercises his office as a priest, as a prophet, and as a king in his shepherd. In Christ, he cares, he shows cares. In Christ, has a good shepherd. He shows that he cares for his people because he has compassion for them. And the next thing that we see is that Christ is the great shepherd because he's God. And as God, he loves us as nobody else does. And he loves us, the Bible tells us, at the point of death. And Christ Jesus, he's the great shepherd because he laid his life for us. He received the punishment that was for us in our place. We are all going straight to hell. And we all deserved hell. And we all deserve to be punished. But Christ, as the great shepherd, he had compassion of us. And he received that punishment in our place. And this compassion of Christ Jesus towards us, it should motivate us not only to be grateful to him for this great compassion, but it should also motivate us to have compassion of others. Shouldn't it? And how do we show compassion for others? The same way that Christ did here. He saw that people lost, without food, desperate, running after him like crazy. And he brought to them a word of eternal life. And how we show compassion to others? We do that inviting them to the church, telling them about Christ, about salvation, Christ, about the gospel. That's how we do that. Have you shown compassion to others? Do you really care about your neighbor? Have you ever invited someone to come to church? Ever? I love my friend, but you never invite him to come to church. Are you having compassion of them? Did you ever tell them about the gospel? At least once? Do you really love your neighbor? If you're not having compassion of them, how can you love them? The next thing that we see here in this text, in verse 35 to 41, is that Christ, he demonstrates his love through his provision. Because he is the shepherd, the good shepherd, he provides for the people. And the first thing that we should notice is that he provides for their needs. We see from verse 35 to 41 that the disciples, they came to him and they said, Jesus, we need to send these people away. We can't feed all these people. And see, we hear the difference between the disciples and Jesus. The contrast. While the disciples were showing no care for that people, the disciples were showing that they didn't love that people. Send them away, they said to Jesus. Christ, he shows the opposite. He shows love to that people. And the disciples, in verse 31, we read that the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's late. Send the people away so that we can go to the surrounding countryside and villages, so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. And here, Christ, he's trying to teach something to his disciples. He's trying to teach them how to love, how to care for the sheep of Christ. But the disciples, they answer saying, who take more than half a year's wages. And are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? And the answer here of the disciple, it's not a question of they could do it or if they could not do it. The disciples are here essentially saying, Christ, that is impossible. We can't do that. There is no way that we can buy bread for all these people. There's no way that we can care for all these people. But what we see here is that instead of sending the people away, Christ, he operates here a miracle. And it's interesting as we read here how Christ, he did that and how he prayed and how similar this meal that they are having together here with the Lord, how similar it is with the Lord's Supper. It's not the Lord's Supper yet, but it's very similar. We have here the same words. Christ, he prayed. He thanks God. He breaks the bread. He blesses them. He gives them the bread. It's the same thing. Christ is having here a meal with that people as the Lord has a meal with us. And he makes here a miracle. Those bread and fish, they feed 5,000 men. And there are three distinctive things that we should look upon this miracle here that we should understand when Christ he does this miracle. The distinctive thing in this miraculous deed of Jesus is that it results from the exercise of the supernatural power of God. God, he can do supernatural things. The second distinctive thing about this miracle is that it points to Christ's divine power as a God. Christ, he is God. And the third thing that we see in this miracle points that he is the one who was sent by the Father. In feeding all that people, Christ, he fulfills the prophecy of Ezekiel 34. He is the shepherd who feeds God's people. And the text tells us that 5,000 men, without counting the women, the kids, they all ate and they were satisfied. And the last thing that we see about this provision of God, and the most important of all, is that Christ, he provides for our spiritual needs. Isn't that what he does here in verse 34? Before he gives them bread, what did he do? He started teaching them many things. Which things? You might be asking. I don't know which things. The Bible doesn't tell me. But the Bible does tell me that he was preaching the message of the gospel of the kingdom. We read in Mark 1:15 that he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom and telling people that the kingdom was at hand and telling people to repent and believe. So he was there teaching them many things. He was there teaching them the message of the kingdom, the same message that we still preaching today. We still telling people to repent and believe. Because without repentance, no one can get in the kingdom of God. And without believing, no one can enter the kingdom of God. So that Jesus, he had a message to them. He was not only feeding them with food and bread and fish, but he was giving them something much better, which was a spiritual food. We read in the Gospel of John that Jesus is the bread of life. And there is something that the world will never understand, and unbelievers, they will never understand, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ, it feeds our souls. And every time that we come to Christ, every time that we open our Bibles, Christ is feeding us. And brothers and sisters, there is nothing like that. There is nothing in the world that can explain what is to be fed by Christ himself and God through his word. Not surprising, John says in John 6:58, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And that's the spiritual food that we receive from God. It's eternal food. It's food that gives us eternal life. And Jesus, as we see here, he's the only one who can say, listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me here that your soul may live. Christ, he demonstrates his love to us through his provisions. He gave us spiritual food. He gave us physical food. And that's all we need for our lives. Knowing that, I must ask you, how have you been feeding your soul? Do you feed your soul with Facebook? Do you feed your soul with TV? Some people, they feed their souls talking about other people's. How do you feed your soul? If Christ is the bread of life, and he's the one who feeds our souls through his word and his spirit, how do you feed your soul? How much time of your day you spend eating the food that Christ gave to us, his word? Reading it, memorizing it, meditating upon it. You feed your soul once a year? Probably you're going to die. You feed your soul once a week? You must be hungry. I would be hungry eating once a week. How do you feed your soul? The great security that we have in life is to know that God, Jesus Christ himself, is our great shepherd. And we, as his sheep, we need to trust in him with everything that we need. He's giving us here the good example. He's the shepherd who provides for the needs. He's the shepherd who provides for the physical needs and for the spiritual needs. It's hard for us, as we read this word, it's hard for us to change habits, isn't it? It's really easy for us to come to church and, how are you, bye, see you next week, and really not care. It's not easy to come to church and serve people. It's easy to live lives and see people away from Christ and never have compassion of them, isn't it? It's really easy. Just letting people go into hell without never hearing the gospel. That's easy to do. You don't need to put you in a tough situation. You don't need to expose yourself. You don't need to get in a debate. It's really easy just to come here every Lord's Day and hear God's word and be fed by Christ on the Lord's Day and spend the rest of the week as if Christ did not exist. You don't even think about him anymore. He's not even part of your life anymore. It's pretty easy to do that. Anyone can do that. But it's not biblical. It's not what the Word of God tells you to do. The Word of God tells you to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Christ does. That's what Christ commands us to do. And he tells us to do that not only with words, but with deeds. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, we praise your name, O Lord, and we give thanks to you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and took a form of man and a reasonable soul and died on the cross in our place. We thank you, O Lord, that in him we are reconciled to you, and in him we find, O Lord, food for our souls. We thank you, O Lord, that you raise us from the death, O Lord, not only, O Lord, to love you, but to obey you as you command us and you give us the example of Christ in your word. Please help us, O Lord, in, O Lord, our needs and in our lack of faith as we pray, O Lord, to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's now respond to the preach of God's word by singing hymn 525, Savor Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Let's stand to sing hymn 525, Savor Like a Shepherd Lead Us.
I made the announcements, I was also going to announce to keep in your prayers this week that Randy Hubers is scheduled for heart catheterization on Tuesday. So we hope all goes well there also. Since next Sunday, we hope to celebrate the Lord's Supper. The Lord willing, I'd like to read that we might be rightly prepared. Form number 2, found on page 44. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, since we hope next Lord's Day to celebrate the blessed sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we are called to prepare our hearts by rightly examining ourselves. For the Apostle Paul has written, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then and eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Therefore, you should examine your life in considering your own sin and the wrath of God against it. Be sure that you humble yourself in repentance before God. Examine your heart to be sure that you trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, believing that your sins are forgiven wholly by grace because of our Lord's sacrifice on the cross. Finally, examine your conscience to be sure that you resolve to live in faith and obedience before your Lord and in love and peace with your neighbor. And here is the warning and invitation. God will surely receive at the table of his Son all who truly repent of their sins, believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and desire to do his will. All those, however, who do not repent, do not put their trust in the Lord Jesus, and who have no desire to lead a godly life, are warned, according to the command of God, to keep themselves from the Holy Sacrament. If any one of us is living in disobedience to Christ and in enmity with his neighbor, he must repent of his sin and reconcile himself to his neighbor before he comes to the Lord's table. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This solemn warning is not designed, however, to discourage penitent sinners from coming to the Holy Sacrament. We do not come to the supper as though we are righteous in ourselves, but rather to testify that we are sinners and that we look to Jesus Christ for our salvation. Although we do not have perfect faith, do not serve the Lord God with all our hearts, and do not love our neighbor as we ought, we are confident that the Savior accepts us at his table when we come in humble faith, with sorrow for our sins, and with a will to follow him as he commands. And since it is necessary for us to come to the sacrament in good conscience, we urge any who lack this confidence to seek from the minister or any elder of this church such counsel as may quiet his conscience or lead to the conversion of his life. All then who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and who earnestly desire to lead a godly life, ought to accept the invitation now given and come with gladness to the table of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, who has given us the gospel of Jesus Christ and provided a most wonderful communion with him through the mystery of the sacrament, we need your grace to enable us to prepare our hearts for the reception of Holy Communion. To all who sincerely believe in your Son and truly repent of their sins, grant assurance of your gracious readiness to receive and bless them in the supper of their Lord. To all who have not repented and have not put their trust in the Lord Jesus, grant a restraining fear of this supper, lest their condemnation be greater. But have mercy upon these and grant them grace to repent of their sins and seek their salvation in your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. We confess, O Father, that we have all offended your majesty and deserve your judgment. We have transgressed in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Truly, there is no strength in us. Be merciful, O God, and grant us your pardon. And let us come to the sacrament in the joy of your forgiving love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit, the one and only God, lives and reigns forever. Most gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We come to you this morning to thank you for your plan of salvation, your works of redemption. We acknowledge your sovereignty, that you are our creator, our provider, and our sustainer, and our sanctifier, and our redeemer. All that we have comes from your gracious hand. For you, Lord, make known the path of life, And in your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The greatest joy and comfort of all is found in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for Jesus, the great high priest and our great shepherd, who is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us and knows our every weakness, who has been tempted as we are, yet is without sin. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus and his righteousness that has been and is imputed to us each day, that covers us for our sins, our transgressions, and our shortcomings. We thank you that we can come into your presence with boldness and confidence and assurance, fully trusting that you will receive us because Jesus' blood has been shed as a one-time sacrifice to make us clean, to make us righteous before you. You know our condition, that we inherited from the fall from Adam, that we are dead in our sins and our trespasses and cannot come to you unless you take our heart of stone and replace it with a believing heart of flesh that can hear your voice and respond to your calling. Sanctify us, Lord, create in each of us hearts that desire to walk in your ways of truth, humility, justice, and mercy. Uphold us in our doubts and our trials, our concerns, and every weakness, be they spiritual, mental, or physical. We thank you that you watch over us. We thank you for your fatherly compassion, that you sent your only begotten Son into the world so that we might have life and live it abundantly and to the full. We thank you, O Lord, for the stability we have, knowing that your grace preserves us for the eternal life to come, a grace that was founded in your mercy and secured before the foundation of the earth. Draw us ever closer to you, the rock of our salvation. Lord, we thank you that Miguel de Azevedo can be with us today to lead us in worship and bring us your word. Will you continue to bless his efforts as he seeks to serve you? We thank you for a safe trip here for traveling mercies. Will you guide, direct, and uphold him in the decisions he makes? We ask, Lord, that you continue to uphold and direct Scotty and Vanessa as they look to you for guidance in the decisions they will soon be making. We ask that you grant Scotty clarity of mind and peace as he prepares to take his exam for becoming a minister of the Word and Sacraments. Grant us patience that we would trust you, that in your time and way that your will would be accomplished for supplying us an under shepherd. For you alone know all things and uphold all things. We pray that your name would be honored and glorified, that your church would be nourished and fed and equipped for your service. We pray that your church would grow spiritually and numerically for the furtherance of your kingdom work in the places and lives you place us in. Lord, we pray for continual healing for Cindy Hubers, that the infection can be removed and there would be complete healing. We pray for patience and peace of mind. We pray too, O Lord, for Randy, that you, undergoing heart catheterization on Tuesday, we pray too for a successful procedure and for peace of mind for him and Margaret and their family also. We pray too, O Lord, for continual improvement and strength for Ellis and Helen Myers. We pray that they would know your peace and comfort as they become more dependent on others for assistance. We pray for safety for Louis and Mary as they travel to Michigan for the funeral of Louis' sister, Carla Veltman. We pray for comfort and peace for Louis and Mary and for the Veltman family in their time of loss and sorrow. We pray for continual progress and strength for Nash Lindbergh as he continues rehabilitation from his wounds. We pray for peace of mind, perseverance, and patience in the days ahead. Lord, we pray for continual healing for Matt and Rebecca and their children. We pray for protection and grace and mercy on each one of their lives. We pray for their daughters, Savannah and Ashley, in Iowa also. We pray that they would acknowledge you in all their ways and look to you for guidance and direction in the decisions that they make. Lord, we thank you for the country we live in, for its many freedoms. We pray for those who have authority over us, and we pray for godly leaders who acknowledge you and understand that the authority they have comes from you and not man. Man's wisdom is foolishness in your sight. Your word tells us that man's sin is the root of all his problems. Man's brokenness cannot be found, cannot be fixed by the power and wisdom of man. All man's striving apart from you will accomplish nothing of permanence, and at the end, he must give account to you. We pray, Lord, that in our society and our leaders, there would be a turning and acknowledgement of you and your word, the only true source where man can find direction and meaning. We pray that sin and evil would be restrained and the gospel message could go forth and fall on fertile hearts and take root and grow. We thank you for the comfort and peace we can have knowing that you sovereignly reign over your creation. We ask that you accept our offerings, help us to be faithful stewards, for all that we have comes from your hand and faithfulness to us. We pray that the gifts received would be good and pleasant in your sight and be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the offering for the Gideons too, knowing that as your Bibles are placed, that here too you have ways where your word can be come into the lives of people. And we know, Lord, that your word does not return unto you void. We pray, O Lord, that you would use these means also to bring your word to the lost. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's two offerings. It'll be a general offering, and then the special offering is for the Gideons. And then the song after the offering is number 33 from the Brown Songbook, Let All Things Now Living. Thank you.
Receive now the Lord's parting blessing. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working you what is well-pleasing his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.